State of the Church Today, Issue 8, July 12, 2026. A weekly digest of Southern Baptist, Reformed, and broader theological news, curated for pastors and elders. The week after Independence Day, the Church's relationship to the nation is the through line. The White House Religious Liberty Commission's public comment window closes tomorrow, July 13th, as Southern Baptists mark America's 250th with resources on faithful citizenship. Even while the Reformed world buries Paul Kuistra, one of the great Presbyterian mission statesmen of the last half century. Next, SBC and Convention Watch. Southeastern's presidential handoff is now 3 weeks out. Danny Atkins' 22-year tenure as president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary ends July 31st with Provost Scott Pace, a two-time SCBTS alumnus elected unanimously by trustees in April, taking office August 1st as the seminary's seventh president. Akin has been effusive, exactly the right man, and Pace inherits a stable, confessionally settled institution rather than one in crisis. Worth watching how a long-tenured, high-visibility presidency transfers to a quieter successor. The test of any healthy institution is whether it outlasts the man who built its reputation. Next, Reformed and Confessional. Paul Kuistra dies at 83. Dr. Paul D. Kuistra, president of Covenant Theological Seminary, 1984 to 1994, coordinator of Mission to the World, 1994 to 2014, and later president of Erskine College and Seminary, died July 1st after a battle with cancer. Under his leadership, Covenant became one of the fastest-growing seminaries in the country, and MTW grew into the largest missionary-sending agency in Presbyterian history. For PCA churches especially, this is the passing of a formative mission statesman. For the rest of us, a reminder that the men who quietly build institutions of gospel reach are worth honoring while we have them. Two Reformed summer intensives land the same week, July 27th to 31st. Grimke Seminary's inaugural Churchmen Men's Conference, July 27th to 29th, Richmond, and Reformed Baptist Seminary's five-day expository preaching module with Brian Borgman and Robert Elliott, July 27th to 31st, Minden, Nevada, both fall at month's end. A useful snapshot of where confessional Baptist training energy is going right now. Ordinary churchmanship and the recovery of expository preaching, not celebrity platform. Late notice, but on the radar for elders shaping continuing education plans. Next, theology and doctrine. America turns 250, and the church debates what Christian patriotism should mean. With the semiquincentennial of the Declaration now upon us, Southern Baptist and Reformed outlets are pressing the theological question underneath the fireworks. How do citizens of God's kingdom love an earthly nation without idolizing it? The ERLC's booklet, One Nation Under God, Reflections on 250 Years of Faith and Democracy, with prayer guides and bulletin inserts, and Founder's recent sword and trowel conversation on Rightly Loving the Nation, both aim at the same target, gratitude for common grace and religious liberty, without confusing the Republic with the Church. A fitting week to preach the difference between the two cities. Next, culture and church state. The Religious Liberty Commission comment window closes tomorrow. Public comment on the White House Religious Liberty Commission's draft report, which recommends, among other things, rethinking a strict separation, framing, and repealing the Johnson Amendment, is open only through July 13th. The legal backdrop remains unsettled after a Texas court dismissed the National Religious Broadcasters versus Bessent settlement on March 31st. The 70-year bar on pulpit candidate endorsements is technically still in force for the November election, even as the administration signals it won't enforce it against speech in the context of religious services. Elders should decide now, on biblical grounds, what they would do with a freedom that may or may not fully arrive before an election cycle forces the question. A monumental religious liberty term is teed up at the Supreme Court. With the 2025 to 26 term closed, headlined by Chiles versus Salazar, where an 8-1 court in March required strict scrutiny of Colorado's limits on what a Christian counselor may say to clients, attention turns to next term's docket. Watch a pending cert petition on church autonomy, USCCB v. O'Connell, testing how far courts must stay out of internal church affairs, and First Choice Women's Resource Centers, over a state's demand that a Christian nonprofit surrender its donor list. The direction of travel continues to favor robust free exercise and free speech protections. Next, also worth noting, another SBC pastor arrested on child exploitation charges. A longtime South Carolina Baptist pastor was arrested July 1st and charged with sexual exploitation of a minor after authorities reported finding explicit material of children on his phone. He was released on bond, and the case is proceeding. It is a grievous story, reported here not for detail, but because it is exactly the kind of case our church's abuse prevention and reporting policies exist to catch and refer. Let it prompt a sober check of your own safeguards rather than any sense of distance. Next, for the elders' desk. The news this week keeps circling the church's posture toward the nation. A 250th anniversary, a commission weighing how tightly church and state should be bound, an old federal rule on pulpit politics that may be loosening. It is easy in such a season to grasp at freedoms we are being offered. A question for your elders. If the Johnson Amendment fell away tomorrow, and we could endorse candidates from the pulpit without penalty, would we? What would we gain for the gospel, and what would we risk giving away of our first allegiance? Decide it now, from Scripture and in unhurried counsel, not in the heat of an election when the pressure to speak, or to stay silent, will be its own kind of temptation. That's this week's State of the Church Today. Forward it to a fellow elder.